Shabbat Shalom. This morning we are going to look at the book of the prophet Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. This book deals with the remonstrations of a gracious God remonstrating with an unhappy people. We are going to read from Malachi chapter 2 verse 17 into chapter 3. Malachi chapter 2 verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or, where is the God of justice? Chapter 3. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Their unjust complaint in chapter 2, verse 17. They said, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Others were saying, where is the God of justice? God's response in chapter 3, verse 1 is, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. In this third chapter, verse 1, we have two messengers. The first one is the forerunner of the second. The first runner is described for us also in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 3. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's the message of the first one described here in Malachi 3, where God says, behold, I will send my messenger. In Luke chapter 7, John the Baptist had sent messengers to Yeshua to ask him, are you the coming one or do we look for another? Verse 24, we pick up the narrative there. When the messengers of John had departed, Yeshua began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously apparelled and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. So that in Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, the first messenger was a prophecy of John the Baptist. And then the second messenger is not sent, he is the one who comes. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. The messenger of the covenant. The word for messenger is the same as the word for angel, the angel of the covenant. And we have a scripture for that in Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. The angel of God's presence is the same as the one here in Malachi chapter 3, the messenger of the covenant. He is also mentioned in chapter 9 of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9, from verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. Here is the angel of the covenant mentioned. We also have him mentioned in the book of Haggai, chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2, from verse 6 to 7. Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. An alternate translation would be, the desire of all nations shall come. And the desire of all nations is another title for the coming Messiah. This is spoken of the divine Messiah. God spoke of him in Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, from verse 20 to 23. Exodus 23, verse 20 to 23. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. This angel spoken of has power to forgive sinners. No angel, no mere angel, has got the right to forgive sinners. But this one is a divine angel. He is called the angel of the covenant in Isaiah 63. And over here, God says of him, my name is in him. The name of God means all that God is, all his essence, all his attributes are involved in that phrase, the name of God. And God says, my name is in him. This angel that God sent before them to bring them into the promised land was the Messiah of Israel. And when Yeshua was challenged as to the right, the authority he had to forgive sinners, he gave them proof of it in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 8. Matthew 9, beginning at verse 1. So he, Yeshua, got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then, behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Yeshua saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Yeshua, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw this, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power or such authority to men. What Yeshua was saying to the scribes was, I am the one of whom God spoke through Moses to the people of Israel. I am the angel that brought the people of Israel into the promised land. I am the divine Messiah. I am the angel of the covenant. And so he gave proof of it by commanding the man to take up his bed and go to his own house. He gave solid proof that he was that one of whom Malachi was speaking, of whom Moses spoke, and here who bear witness to himself. Coming back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? He is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. Here the coming Messiah is described as a refiner's fire. Isaiah the prophet also spoke of him in similar terms in Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4, beginning at verse 2. In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, every one who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Here in this fourth verse, we see the Lord has purged the Jerusalem's blood from her by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. That's what John the Baptist said to the multitudes that came to his baptism. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so it is here. It is he who will sort out the righteous from the wicked. Who can stand when he appears? He's like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 25 to 27. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 25. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. I will restore your judges as at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her penitence with righteousness. The destruction of transgressors and of sinners shall be together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed. So what God's response was, first of all, I'm going to send my messenger who will prepare the way for the messenger of the covenant, and that this messenger will be like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He shall sit as the sun, as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Here is a prophecy of the Messiah coming as a refiner's fire. A refiner, when he sat down to refine silver or refine gold, usually played the flame from under the precious metal and across the surface of it, so that from underneath and from above, the fire was used to burn away the dross. And that's what he would do himself. Launderer's soap was famous for getting out stains and blemishes in the clothing. Verse 3 says he will purify the sons of Levi. That meant he would separate those in the sons of Levi that were worthy from those who were not. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 44 from verse 10 to 16. Ezekiel 44 from verse 10. This is what God means in the prophet Malachi, that he will purify the sons of Levi. He would cleanse them from all their uncleanness, but he'd also have the task of separating those who were worthy from those who were not. This is how it's brought out in Ezekiel 44 from verse 10. And the Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray, who strayed away from me after their idols, they shall bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary as gatekeepers of the house and ministers of the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them, because they ministered to them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore I have raised my hand in an oath against them, says the Lord God, that they shall bear their iniquity, and they shall not come near me to minister to me as priest, nor come near any of my holy things, nor into the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Nevertheless, I will make them keep charge of the temple for all its work and for all that has to be done in it. There were Levites who went along with the people of Israel in their worship of idols. God said, I will reinstate them in their service, but they will not be able to come near me. They'll be able to come near my people, but they will not be able to approach me because they have defiled themselves spiritually and morally. So they lost forever a great privilege, a great honor of serving God. And that's a warning for you and for me also, that we can, by willful sin, forfeit forever those blessings that God had in store for us. He had great blessings for the people of Levi. He says, they shall teach Jacob thy statutes and Israel thy laws. They were teachers of God's law, but now because they had served the idols of Israel, left God, therefore they forfeited that privilege forever. But there were other Levites who stood their ground, who stayed loyal to God, and these are mentioned in the following verses, in Ezekiel 44, verse 15 and 16. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary, they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. There is always a reward for those who stay loyal to God. These priests, these Levites, were the sons of Zadok, and they were the ones that did not go along with the idol worship of Israel. They had to pay a price for it. They were ostracized. They were driven out from serving. But they stood their ground, they remained loyal to God, and eventually their reward was due. God says, they can stand before me, they can come to my table. My table is another term for the altar of sacrifice. So this is what this messenger is going to do. He will purify the sons of Levi, We're back at Malachi chapter 3, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Verse 4, then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. Judgment was also threatened against sinners. Verse 5, and I will come near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Judgment was threatened against those sinners, and this was the answer to what they had said, where is the God of justice, at the end of chapter 2. God says, this is how I bring about justice. I send my messenger who will suddenly come to his temple. He will purify the sons of Levi, and he will refine those that need refining. Verse 6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. He says, I am the Lord, I do not change. In Psalm 102, 25 to 28. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. Here we see the unchanging one who has no end to his years, ruling over his servants whose descendants are established before him. Again, also the scripture says God is the unchanging God. In Lamentation chapter 3, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His compassions fail not. And James says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And in Hebrews 13 we read, Yeshua Mashiach, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. I change not. Then came a command to repentance in verse 7. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Their querulous reply, their self-righteous protest, are answered below. God says, first of all, in verse 7, return to me and I will return to you. A command to repent and a promise of blessing on those who do. But they were very self-righteous and said, in what way shall we return? God answered their question with one of his own in verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Tithes were known well before the law was given. Jacob in his vow, when he had that dream of the ladder going up to heaven, remember when he woke up from his dream, he made a vow to God, and he also said, of all you give me, I will give a tenth to you. So Abraham knew about tithing. He gave tithes to Melchizedek, king of Jerusalem. Jacob knew about tithing. He promises to give tithes. And then it was incorporated in God's law in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. Deuteronomy 12, verse 10. But when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice offerings which you vow to the Lord. So it was a practice well known by God's people from the very beginning. And God says, those who do not bring their tithes are really robbing me. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it. The tithes were probably misspent by the priests, and therefore they were being held back by the people of Israel. Remember in the time of Samuel, the prophet, Eli the high priest had two sons who abused the offerings of the people of Israel, so that as a result the people were discouraged from bringing their offerings. But God says here that their duty remains. Deuteronomy 14 describes to us what they did with the tithes. Verse 10 of Malachi, and then Deuteronomy 14. First of all, verse 10 of Malachi chapter 3. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Deuteronomy 14, verse 28. Deuteronomy 14, verse 28 and 29. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates, may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Tithes were meant for the upkeep of the temple, for underwriting the cost, the maintenance of the Levites, but it was also used as food banks. Every third year, they didn't take their tithes up to Jerusalem. They stored up the tithes of their produce and of their material gain within the gates. They had storehouses for the Levite, for the stranger, for the widow, for the fatherless, as mentioned here, that they may come and eat and be satisfied. So tithes were meant for relief of the needy as well as for the support of the ministry. That is the rule still today, the rule that Scripture lays down for us. God says in verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. A promise of blessing. The prophet Joel has something to say about that too in Joel chapter 2, verse 15 to 18. Joel chapter 2, verse 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations. A promise of blessing and a promise of honor. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 12. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So their query for justice was answered, and God's rebuke for them not bringing their tithes was also proclaimed. We'll have to stop there, but God willing, next time we'll go on to see how, amongst all these quarreling and complaining people of Israel, there were those who were loyal to God, who were true to him, who trusted in him, and who did those things that pleased him. We've got time for questions and for comments. Let's have a word of prayer first. Loving Heavenly Father, help us by your grace to remain with those Levites that were true to you in a difficult time and in a time of departure from God. Lord, in our days we see a lot of departure from you. Help us to remain true. Help us to return where we have departed. And may it never be too late for the repentant soul. We pray in the Lord Yeshua's name. Amen.